Podcasting 2.0 for August 8th, 2025, episode 229, Database Storytime. We are back in the saddle, ready to rock and roll. Let's roll. Let's go, everybody. We get to do this. It is time once again for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. What's that? It's a name? Oh, I'm sorry. This is where we come together to talk about the future of podcasting, what's happening right now, and we always reminisce. We are, in fact, the only boardroom where talk is cheap and code matters. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will track down your usual agent, whoever you are. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
Right after I posted using DJL's fancy link, podcasting2.org/live, which redirects to episodes.fm/something-something-something-something that I can't even remember and always screw up.
Yeah.
Right after I posted that, Nathan posted, Dave, FYI, the podcasting2.org/live link will now redirect to pod.link/podcasting2.0.
He's got the link thing integrated. That's cool.
Yeah. He re-inherited pod.link.
How does that even work? What exactly happened? I mean, so they bought it from him and then they just gave it back? Is that how that, did he have to like write them a check? How does that work?
They're like, look, we really haven't done anything with this thing. You can just have it back.
That is amazing. I'd love to sell a business like that. Sell your business like that is fantastic.
Oh, wow. It's probably just a handshake deal, you know.
I don't know.
Probably not what it was.
No, I'm doubting. I don't think so. I don't think so. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good right now, actually.
Yeah.
Been tough week at the office.
Tough
but
week.
I'm good right
yeah,
now.
Tough week. Well, at least you're not working at Wondery.
I still have a job.
Yes. Talk about a tough week for what those guys.
I've got impressions on that. I mean, we don't, ultimately, it's not really our wheelhouse about inside baseball and stuff like that with
well,
those kind of companies.
It's relevant only for one reason, because Amazon said, well, you know, podcasting's moving towards video anyway, so we might as well shut this down.
Which was bullcrap.
Or reorg or whatever they were saying.
I agree with James. That's just complete. That's just a made up thing to say in public.
The sad thing of all of this video talk is that we kind of overlook what it's really about. And you know, considering some of the talk that went on podcastindex.social between me and Dave Weiner about a name, I don't know if you caught any of that.
No, I totally missed that.
Oh, gosh.
Is there something that happened on the...
Yeah, something happened.
I totally missed it. Well, I'm kind of glad I did, because I was on edge all week.
It would have tipped you over, man. You've been like, yeah, you pull out the razor blade, now you get in the tub, pull in the Leonard Cohen record in the toaster. Yeah, you're good. No, we're not going to do that.
Splish.
Splish, splash, bzz. I was, you know, I subscribed to his podcast,
which is your first mistake.
Well, no, I find him very interesting to listen to, the things that he's talking about. The most interesting is if you look at his arc of AI, it went from ChatGPT is the most awesome coding partner ever to I tell this thing to not do it and it doesn't give me answers and it goes off and does things over here and then changes things like, that sounds about right. That's pretty much what it is.
That's a common arc with AI.
Yeah, exactly. But he had a podcast, and he was talking about if only there was an API, if only there was an API that could do some things. You know, and his idea was it was an interesting thought, and that's why I reached out to him on the Mastodon.
Second mistake.
Well, no, not really. I'm fine. I pray for people like him. You know, I ask God.
Yeah, praying for him is not the mistake. Talking to him on social media is the mistake.
You're right. After the talking comes the praying. God, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. The idea was, you know, there was a New York Times article. Like, who reads that? But he reads that. He said, "Here's the top 8 podcasts to listen to." And he said, you know, I'm never going to do that because, you know, I listened to it in the car. And if there was just an API that just had a button and then it could automatically subscribe my my podcast app, he used Pocket Casts, to those 8 shows. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll just say, you know, hey, Dave, you had an interesting idea. I just want you to know there's an API. And, you know, we actively develop for endpoints. And, you know, if you have an idea, you know, let's...
I already know the end of this story.
Okay. Hit me with the end.
Well, it's, see, the thing with Dave is, if he didn't build it, then it's shit. So
No, that wasn't it. This like the insidious nature of calling something podcasting 2.0. I will never work with anyone who did that ever.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So whatever.
Right. RSS 2.0. Okay.
It was my yeah, whatever. It's like, meanwhile, he's trying to get the attention of the WordPress people who literally stole blogging from him. But okay, that's fine. Right, yeah, whatever. Sure. Yeah. And call it WordPress. it's all good. Oh, you need a pod ping. I'm sorry. Good point, everybody. I'm sorry.
Give me a ping.
That was all wrapped up. Wrapped up. Hold on. My mistake. Here we go. Ba-da-bing. I do love my pod ping. Done. So back to the problem that everyone is kind of overlooking is what Google is really doing. They're not hijacking a name. Oh, they are kind of, you know, RSS. I mean, podcasting. But that's what they're really hijacking. I gave away the punchline. They're hijacking RSS. They want to kill RSS-based podcasting. That is their true, whether they even, the people on the front line know it or not, that has always been the nature of Google. You know, just think, even the whole concept of a feed comes from RSS feeds, comes from the name. Oh, it's my timeline, my feed. That was always an aggregator-led feature. From back in the day, Google Reader, which they ran and saw, holy crap, this is no good. And of course, they went to, was it Google Plus, Google Circles, you know, all these, all these other, and they shut down Google Reader, which effectively
Google Circles. I like that one.
Wasn't it Google Circles? You had a circle of friends and
Google Squares.
You're my yellow circle. I don't know. It was very complicated. Typical engineers are going to build a great product. No offense. And so what they're doing here, and I would say they're even stupid, because what they should do is they should say, oh, okay, all your RSS feeds now just work. And when you update it, it updates. And when you change something, it changes. And then they should cut it off. You know, that's what they did with Google Reader, but they're not even that mean anymore. The smart people have left the building, but that's really what it is. They do not want a user controlled feed experience.
You're talking about Amazon.
No, I'm talking about Google now. Just video. I'm talking about video in general. Oh. This is not a video thing. This is, YouTube does video, but we know from the actual numbers that 70% of people, quote unquote, watching a podcast are actually listening to it. And they may glance at it from time to time, and they may start off watching, but then they just put it in their pocket, then they're listening. That's what was that survey we had? Ah, nice. What are you drinking?
This is a Wixie pomegranate green tea sparkling water.
That sounds like chemicals. Chemicals, baby.
No, this is chemical free.
No, he's sure. Does it have natural flavors? Look on the can.
Let's see. Carbonated water. natural. No, organic flavors.
Well, that's different. Okay, organic flavors. Nice. Yeah.
If it comes from nature, it can't kill you.
That's right. But that's different than organic. Mm-hmm. So that's really what's happening, and I say this because when people see the true power of RSS, which I witnessed this past week when we were off, I was in Florida at a conference, and I was speaking in front of influential pastors who have all side different sized churches, but they have a their group is about 2,500. Okay. And I was showing them the stuff we're doing with Godcaster, and it was like magic to them. You know, I said, well, you know, so you have a podcast. Well, no, you can now add it to this church's Godcaster station, but you know, it can also add it over here. It's like they couldn't believe it. You don't have to upload over there. You know, I don't understand. I don't have to call them. No. It's syndication. And it was like, are you familiar with Dr. Rick Scarborough? He's like in his 70s. He's a pretty well-known guy. Former pastor. He's written a ton of books. Anyway,
I don't think I am.
So he's in the audience and he asked a question. He said, how long should a podcast be? And I said, until it's boring. Everyone laughs. But, you know, they actually left the room like, crap, did I just offend Rick Scarborough?
Sort of boring.
So I actually kind of cornered me right after that. I said, well, I want to show you something. And he shows me, he has this this feature called My Take, and it's like a minute and a half, and it's weekly, and it's his take on current affairs, and it airs on hundreds of radio stations. He said, this is not a podcast, is it? I said, that's exactly what a podcast is. Do you have a feed? No. Said, okay. So I created a feed for him, actually. I'm just like, this is too good. And I just scraped it right off his website with a script and creates a feed. And so I realized that what Google and YouTube are doing by telling people a podcast is a bunch of people sitting around a table with headphones on and microphones, and it's always video. It has detracted from the true beauty of what RSS-based podcasting is. And when you take a little bit of time, just a little bit of time to explain to people the syndication nature of it, they start to understand, wait a minute, I can do more with this. There's more things that can be done. And so one of our customers, actually, High Point Church in Lake Wales, Florida, they have a team. And so they're Godcaster. And just for those of you who don't know, Godcaster is basically a digital podcast app that, in this case, the church controls what content is in there for the congregation. And it's a combination. It can be live streams. It can be, all kinds. But it's mainly podcast, RSS podcast based. It's very easy for them to type in some names. You pull it up, and these are the things that I want people to hear. Or I did a sermon. I wanted to listen to this guy, etc. And it clicked for these people. Why don't we call ourselves Providence Voice? So they're branding. I like that idea. And they said, you know, how do we get Sally, who goes to all the board meetings, the school board meetings, how do we get her to do a report and add it to our station? And this is where the light bulb went off for me. I'm like, oh, well, you just need to put it into a feed. And so I think they use RSS.com or Buzzsprout. But they do some feed creation with some podcasts, and they said, "Oh, yeah, so I just make that like 2-minute report a podcast." I say, yeah,
and for sure.
And then they started to understand the power of this, how simple it is to manage an entire local, hyperlocal, actually resource that people can listen to. And of course, you know, we built channel streams, which turns a bunch of podcasts into a live stream, you know, with links back to the original podcast. So it's, you know, it's all the things we've built here at Podcasting 2.0, including a remote item. What's the other one that was, we almost forgot about the source tag, I think it is.
Oh yeah. Source tag.
Yeah. Using all of those bits and bobs, and all of a sudden, you know, now these guys are seeing how they can link to each other, and they don't really have to see an RSS feed. They just know that if I put it into this box and then I can pull it up over here, that's all they really see. And I was just like, the magic unfolding before me of how people are looking at podcasts, not as just a show that shows up in an app, but the capability to connect these things together and make a bigger whole. Kind of like, mm-hmm. I was talking about the Rachel Maddow app. It's like, their podcast app is very, very limited. You can't go around searching for stuff that they haven't made available. But the interlinking and all of these different pieces that fit together makes it a destination for people with it, and the destination has an opinion. And that opinion in this case is, you know, local politics and Jesus for Lake Wales. Mm. And, you know, the pastor also happens to be the mayor. So there's a lot of good things there. And so, you know, if we stop looking at RSS as just a mechanism to distribute a show, which is where everyone's stuck in that mode. And I think I've said this for 5 years we've been doing this project. Where is the innovation? Where's the completely crazy idea that is, yeah, it's an app, but it's not really a podcast app. It does something else very specific. And through, you know, whatever reason, you and I wound up building that with Paul Bailey and with Gordon, we wound up building an actual app that does that. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautiful to see. And you know what? You know what never comes up in the conversation? Does it do video? You know, people get it. It's like, oh, I'm listening to this stuff. Oh, okay. So, you know, just it's like this customized radio that we control all the programming and we don't have to be radio people to understand it. And it just kind of works and it updates automatically. And they love it. They really, really love it. The only thing I would think would be even better if like if you had a hosting account and you could add to it like a sub feed where you just like have an app on your phone and actually kind of the idea that before Spotify bought it, what was that called? The hosting company they bought.
Oh, Anchor.
Yeah. So Anchor, didn't Anchor have an app and you could, you know, do a podcast on your phone and it was all crap. Remember that?
You just fire up you would just like record yourself on the phone and then that was your episode.
Right, right. So having that as like a sub account so I can just have people I want associated with whatever I'm building with RSS just to hit something and then send and boom, it puts it in a feed and it's done. I mean, I could build that myself technically, but I'd like hosting people to be hosting people. There is so much. Am I making any sense here? That's not an answer.
You're making sense. I think, let me go backwards real quick because I think the video commentary was and the Wondery thing was a head fake.
Yeah, of course.
And but I think there's two. I just want to kind of go back to that real quick because I think I don't know. My take on this was a couple of things. I think the primary hit of this news was with people in the podcast industry themselves.
Sure.
But there's a psychological aspect to it because there's so much since, I don't know really when this started, maybe end of 2022. Yeah. There's been so much negative news in the podcast world. There's only a few bright spots you could point to, and Wondery was one of them. Wondery, you could say, okay, look, you could hold them up as the pedestal and say, on the pedestal and say, okay, Wondery is proof that if you do a podcast network right, you can be successful and make money. And when something like this happens, it's like you got rug pulled.
I think there was someone who said that you can't monetize the network. Who was that guy? I'm trying to think who that was.
I vaguely remember that too, and I don't remember
who who that guy was. Very, very downer dude.
Smart guy, though.
Well, when you have, what did they have, 300 people?
Oh, did they have that many on staff?
Well, they fired 100.
Yeah, they fired a lot.
100 people. You know, what kind of payroll is that, man? That's $15, $20 million payroll.
When the rows of your industry sort of, when they get chopped in that way, you have to know, Amazon would not do that if it was wildly successful financially.
No, so of course not. No, of course
it's
not.
It's an implicit admission that the money aspect just is not there. And the other thing that we're seeing is advertising. We've been saying this for a while. The advertising is just not enough.
It's bullcrap, is what it is.
You cannot get to profitability solely on advertising. You have to use subscriptions. Spotify cut their staff and increased their prices. YouTube increased their premium prices, and they're pushing people hard into premium. But the other thing that hit me this morning, though, was I think there's also an aspect of this where Amazon sees that they're giving the money that any money that Wondery was making from subscriptions, which is the more valuable of the two. If you have subscriptions and advertising, subscriptions is the more valuable of the two. And 30% of that subscription money was going to Apple. Yeah. If you remember over the last few years, if you remember the last few years, I just found an article. We saw this article, this same story many times. The headline is Wondery is the winner in the subscription race this year, but the size of the market remains small. Apple says Wondery had the top subscriber channel of 2022 as the studio was the home of 16 of the top 20 subscriber shows. So of Apple's top 20 subscription shows, Wondery had 16 of them.
Yeah.
And that means that any money that they were making from subscriptions, a third of that was going to Apple. Now, that's a reason to stop doing that and bring all that content into Audible. That is because now you say, okay, if you have a hardcore subscriber who really wants to subscribe, now they'll come over and subscribe on Audible. They're not going through Apple Podcasts anymore. So I think that there was financial problems clearly. That's just obvious, or they wouldn't do this. But then the money they were making, which wasn't evidently very large, a third of that was getting siphoned off over to Apple Podcasts. So I just think that the psychology aspect of this inside the quote unquote podcast industry is, oh man, I thought these guys were killing it, and they clearly weren't. And then the other side of it is, this is just a pure money play on Amazon's part. They're getting their house in order the same way that Spotify had to.
I think the conversation we're having now is exactly the problem. But I think what I'm trying to say, because I don't really know what I'm saying ever, honestly.
Okay. I know what you're saying.
Is RSS is a beautiful technology, and we've distilled it down to shows and money.
Right. Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, what can we do differently with RSS when what you put in your feed, how much you put in your feed, you know, what the actual is the content always supposed to be a show, and what happens on the other end? So right now we have, you get a transmitter. By the way, this was absolutely valid in the beginning. You get a transmitter and your app is the receiver. And what we've been doing for the past year shows me that, well, not entirely. The RSS feed is a building block that you can put all kinds of different types of content in, not necessarily a show. And on the receiving end, you can build something completely customized for one particular function. And in this case, we happen to choose, you know, we basically built a podcast player, a podcast app for a total addressable market, my favorite term, TAM, of over 300,000 churches in America that can fill that with whatever they want and create an experience for their audience the way they want to. So we've put an intermediary into the mix. I'm not saying that that's what has to happen, but it's a different
repeater.
It's well, it's like a remixer. That's actually a very good idea. It's a remixer.
The DJ, we're a DJ.
In a way, it's a remixer. You're it's a curation device. And that's and what is the number one problem we've had? Oh, discovery. There's no way to discover. Well, I may look towards a certain person and say, "Oh, my discovery is going to be with that person, and the way I'm going to consume that from that person is going to be in their app, in a separate app, in my."
I just had a killer idea.
Go.
Everything that gets shared goes into a feed.
Oh, another.
Well, are you killing? Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm feeling you, Smalls. Exactly.
All right. Okay.
Oh,
all right. A feed of shares.
So this is what I'm talking about. It's like, let's just forget the money for a second. Just forget shows. You know, it's like, if I could subscribe to, and we used to have these experiments, I just want the weather updated on whatever device I'm using every hour for my location. You know, that's just, it's a simple example. And you know what? There's probably no money in it. Maybe there is. I don't know. But there's so many cool things that we can do with remixing and intermediaries instead of transmitter receiver, which is what we've been stuck in. And, you know, when your competitor, which is Google, who is basically trying to kill RSS again, is zigging, we need to zag. We need to do something completely different. It's very hard because the podcast industrial complex is centered around money and monetization. You wanted to say something.
I think it's, well, it just hit me that it's like, you have to answer the question, why? Like, why does Google want to kill RSS? Why have they had a 20-year hard-on to kill RSS? Because it always is a threat to their model.
Mm-hmm.
The YouTube model,
let me help you. The money that is in podcasting is not the reason Google is doing this. They're not going, oh, look, there's another $1 billion we can get. No, it's really not it. They want all your base belong to us. They just
content.
Want...
They want your content.
They want your content, and they want it for free. And
they want your... Yes, yes, that's it. They want your content for free because what they've realized is that they've realized the same thing that AI has realized, that the AI companies have realized. There's not enough content. They've already ingested the entire internet, and it's not enough. It's not enough to fulfill the promise that they've given. The promise that they've given on YouTube is that it's your new TV. Whenever you jump on your YouTube, you're always going to find something to watch. There's always going to be something interesting there, and I can tell you, that's not true.
But also, the last thing they want is for you to subscribe to something and actually get what you want all the time. That makes no sense to them.
Outside of them.
That makes no sense to them. They want to keep you engaged with what they think is what you want. And and in the process, you know, that they are definitely hooking us in, but they want to take the control away from you, the listener, the viewer, the user, and do it all for you. And a lot of people are very happy with that, I'm sure, who have a lot of time on their hands. But I've seen time and time and time again from all ages. Where do I find your podcast? Well, do you have Apple? Yeah, I think so. I can just get it from the church app. Oh, okay, I'll get it over there. And whenever they want that, they go over there. And they don't care if it's a podcast app, if there's other things. They just want the stuff that they were told they can get over there, and they get it from there.
Right.
It's on your website. No Agenda still, I think 30% of people still go to noagendashow.net and click play and leave their browser window open. And that's quite a lot of, that's awesome. A lot of people. You know, that's hundreds of thousands of people who are doing that. It's just a fact. So all these different things we can build with remixing, and this is where that source, it was so beautiful when you pointed out the source element, just to reiterate. So we now have an app, and you open that app and it shows you stations in your area by geolocation. You click on one, you follow the station, but you can just, you know, bop around. What do they have? What kind of content do they have? Or, oh, what's this? Click. It's a live stream. Oh, I just fell in the middle of something. Okay, I'm listening to this. Oh, that's interesting. Now, that's radio, and I find myself more often than not just listening to the program for a bit. And if it's really good, I'll be like, yeah, I want to find out. I want to, you know, listen to this when it's good for me. I want to put it in a queue. I want to listen to it later. And that's one click away, and I have the source. And, oh, there's all these other episodes. I might go back and listen to that. It's true discovery. The stream is almost irrelevant. It's just a discovery mechanism. What's going on? Click. Oh, okay. Surprise me. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll go and listen to that later. It's the completely different model from what podcasting in the monetization sphere really is. It's very different.
All the big players are trying to construct walls around their systems now. They can't afford to. It's a money thing with them,
of course. And
they're not trying to capture the money that's in podcasting, because there's not very much money in podcasting. It's the amount of money that's in podcasting is completely insignificant to any of these large companies. It is just such a small number. It's irrelevant to their bottom line, but it does represent a threat to their money in a different way. And that's through your attention
and the data you bring along.
Yes. And so that is all that this is about. It's all that this is about. And every time something happens where there's a shift within podcasting, like what just happened, it is a signal that these walls that they're building are getting tighter, which means there's more threat. Mm-hmm. They perceive more threat internally.
Yes.
They're looking outside and feeling threatened, and they double down. So and RSS has always been at the core.
Mm-hmm.
Google has always been terrified of RSS because it completely bypasses their entire setup. This leads into the to that whole, you know, to the HTML working group trying to get rid of XSLT. I don't know if you saw that.
Briefly, is that XSLT? Is that the style sheet that flows over an RSS feed and then shows the content as like a web page?
Correct.
Boom!
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And somebody from the HTML working group.
It's basically one more step for Adam. Oh, got a view source. Okay.
Yeah, right. Right click, view source. Somebody from the HTML working group, who is this? Mason Fried, Chromium developer. He proposed, he said, what is the issue with the HTML standard? Let's see. For these XSLT V1, which all browsers adhere to, was standardized in 99. In the meantime, XSLT has evolved to 2.0 and 3.0. The bottom line of what he's saying is, 1.0 XSLT is all that's in browsers these days. It's proven to be a security problem because, for historical reasons, all of the browsers rely on what's one library called libXSLT, except for Firefox. It uses its own thing as usual. But that's a C++ code base, and there's memory safety issues in there. So it's proposed that XSLT would be deprecated in browsers. This is what I don't know if he's even proposing it. He's just asking the question, should it be deprecated? And, you know, the response, I'm not saying his motivation is this, but what it boils down to, what it amounts to, honestly, is a direct attack on RSS.
That's right.
Because XSLT is not just it's not only for styling. It's a templating language for XML.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to, I mean, if you look at XSLT, it's got control flow. I mean, it's got for each loops. It's got, conditionals. It's a language. It's a templating language. And so you can use it to do very complex things and to display XML. But since
Is this good or bad? Sounds like a good thing.
Well, I think it's really not good. I don't want to assign a sort of quality to it, like a moral quality to it as good or bad, because it's, it just is a thing that exists that is in use.
But they want to get rid of it?
I don't know if he even wants to. I think what he's proposing, and it's the way this HTML working group works, is proposals are made and they work it out.
Mm-hmm.
They work through it. And people sort of vote with their commentary,
mm-hmm.
In a way, and then at the end of the discussion, choices begin to be proposed. And it's still firmly in the discussion phase until let's have a conversation about this phase. And it does, the issue is XSLT is primarily used for displaying RSS feeds nicely in web browsers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what 90% of the use is.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean it's the only use. There's still lots of other use going on of XSLT as well. And the total page loads for XML in browsers while as a percentage it's low, the total volume is high still.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because RSS is, since it's XML based, anything that diminishes XML in the browser also diminishes XML on the quote unquote web, which is ultimately a diminution of RSS. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. We need to fight for some of these things to be retained, not necessarily because we can't live without them if they were to go away, but we saw what things like Google Reader going away did to RSS.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there is it's like a Jenga tower. Every time one of those little blocks is pulled out, the tower that is RSS gets weaker. And, we have to just keep as many blocks in that tower as we can. And it's useful. I mean, XSLT, the best outcome of this would be that XSLT in browsers would be upgraded to a more modern version, that mm-hmm. they would support
3.0. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, like I said, it's not just styling. You can also use it for delivery. You can also say this feed is huge. Alberto gave an example of using a for each loop in XSLT to minimize the amount of data that's returned.
Or do pagination or whatever.
Things like, there's, the browser is, I mean, we had XHTML for crying out loud. We had XML as the basis for the browser's rendering itself. Yes,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. XML is important.
Let me throw two things at you.
Okay.
Actually, it was a very interesting, there's a clip I played yesterday. Hold on a second. Scrunch. Hold on. There's a company, and this kind of folds into AI, Listen carefully to this.
Chris Andrew is CEO and co-founder of Scrunch AI. Scrunch tries to help customers' websites get noticed by AI bots so that their name or products appear in AI answers.
We're seeing companies that are desperate to get their content consumed by AI models.
He's talking about companies that sell products and services, like sneakers or oil changes. Andrew says that visibility can lead to more transactions, even if there are fewer overall clicks. He sees a future where a whole new post-human web emerges to feed AI. Yeah. The websites of today, full of pictures and videos, were designed primarily for eyeballs.
So I have a thesis that we're going to move to a non-visual internet because the internet is going to be for AI.
And AI wants words.
The secret is in the name. Large language models want language. And as a society, we have built a very confusing, over-designed, over-incentivized internet that is heavily interactive.
Websites as we know them won't vanish altogether, he says. People will still need to visit them to buy stuff.
So forget the hypey stuff there. Imagine a world where women wear comfortable shoes, where RSS feeds are interlinking to each other constantly. We have all the building blocks. We have the remote item. We have source. We have, I think remote item is actually kind of the most exciting part of that, where we're interlinking to all of these different things. They link out to transcripts. There's a lot of different things that, I mean, there could be an interlinked web of RSS feeds that would be incredibly beneficial for any type of application to pull in and or search or archive or index to do things with. Like Gopher. Basically, I'm talking about Gopher. Let's bring back Gopher.
Finger.
Finger my .plan file. Publisher, thank you very much, Chad F. There's something
we talked about. I mean, we
there's something, you know, to be said about that.
Well, XML serves a role. It serves a very important role, and we've, you know, man, I feel like we're talking about stuff we talked about like 5 years ago.
Easily, sure.
XML is important because,
Let me throw this at you. So what you said, you've got an RSS feed of shared. I mean, just think about all the interlinking we could be doing but aren't doing. We have all these different, we have pod roll, right. We have, you know, all these different feeds that can be created. You can be surfing around on this invisible RSS web, interlinked web that with XSLT actually would be viewable to you as like just your web browser, becomes an app again. And
oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so you just click on something and I'm in this world. And the XSLT, the T part, the template part determines your visual experience. But underneath, anybody can walk this tree and figure out all these different things and can pull in pieces from, I mean, why wouldn't I all of a sudden be linked into the TrueFans ecosystem? And now there's all this other stuff that I'm linking in between person tag and location tag. I mean, it is so much more than what we're doing, just trying to show, you know, an icon of a head of someone. Oh, he was a guest, you know. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, I do know what you mean. This is like World Outline.
Yes, yes.
But without the OPML.
And without Dave Weiner.
Right. So it's the same idea.
Gosh, I keep coming back. It's Freedom Controller. I keep coming back to the same stuff, don't I?
Yeah, I want to. I'm resisting.
No,
so
resist,
hard.
Resist, no, resist, resist. We much.
We much.
Wait a minute. Where's Al? Where's Al when we need him? Hold on. Resist. Here we go. Man, Al is like so old. Is at the bottom of the list.
He fell off the board.
But resist. We much. We must, and we will much about that. Be committed.
There you go. Resist it, Dave. Resist
my
it.
Thoughts exactly. Yes.
But you know, so
yeah, I agree. Yeah, the XML is a generic markup language, and that is so useful. God, it's so useful. I mean, HTML is not that way. HTML is geared towards display.
Yes, and we've built a total visual web. Oh yeah, please don't say JSON, because before you know it, Daniel J. Lewis is gonna be like, we can do all this in JSON.
That's why his middle name is JSON.
That's right.
And the JSON is just a serialization language. It's just XML is critical to the web. It just really is. Mm-hmm. And anything that diminishes that, we should be expanding that, not cutting it.
And I think hosting companies should, you know, do a 6-week sprint and come up with some ideas of what you can actually do with interlinking your RSS feeds.
Yeah.
You know, let's bring creativity back in again. We have this beautiful resource, you know, the podcast index to as your starting point. Podroll. But even the index isn't really necessary if you're just linking through XML files.
Isn't Podroll? It just hit me that I feel like Podroll is the first time that a feed from one hosting company has been directly referenced by a feed in another hosting company.
I think you're right. Except for Remote Item. We did some Remote Item stuff, but that's a little more complicated.
Blogroll is based on Remote Item. You have like this for the first time you have an RSS feed at Blueberry. Mm-hmm. Structurally inside the feed, linking to an RSS feed at Buzzsprout.
Maybe we're looking at this all wrong, man. You know what I mean? Like we've been looking at it from the transmitter receiver model, whereas it's the interlinking part that nobody can do. Only RSS, and I'm just saying, you know, XML, sure, but let's just say RSS, because we have the tags. We have all these interlinking tags. And once you give people the power to interlink, it becomes something completely different. You know, we should just have an RSS-based web with style sheets on top, for all I care, that just lets you surf around, but it's structured. You know, like, oh, this guy's, I'm going from him to the, this is what was beautiful about the web in the beginning, or really Gopher. I say it laughingly, but it was like, wow, I'm over here, and this link be over here. The linking, which was created by other people, was what made it so nice. That has been broken down into, I got to use this app and that app and this app, and over here, got that app, and nothing really interops or interlinks anymore.
Think about the search engines you could create with that much interlinked structured data.
Well, look at Bing at .io.
Yeah, it's killer.
Bing at .io is based on XML. It's a complete XML engine. Mm-hmm. Built on, well, in this case, OPML and RSS. You know, this, I don't know.
ClipGenie.com?
Yeah, ClipGenie.com, yes.
Yeah.
There's something there that we've just forgotten. And by the way, in this age of verification, which is coming, it's unavoidable. We're not going to get around it. Where apps are going to be, you know, forced into age verification. And it'll start with the big social networks, but eventually it'll come down to any app in any app store, or even to get into the app store. It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, isn't
they
isn't
want that, it?
Is they is want Australia's it. Doing it? Is that right?
UK, Australia, Canada. It's coming everywhere. There's lots of legislation on the books here in the United States. You know, think about the children. By the way, not without merit. But we still have the browser, barely.
Yeah.
Barely. We're hanging on to the browser. But the good news is anybody can create a browser. There's enough frameworks out there you can create a browser. So I don't know. I just want to bring this creative thinking back into the process instead of a show, monetization, downloads, stats.
It's boring.
It's boring. Very boring. I know it pays a lot of rent for a lot of people, so I don't want to discount that. For me too.
It does for a while, though. And then, and I mean, the Wondery thing shows us that it's not ever a sure slam dunk. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it feels like a lot of podcasting lore is unraveling a little bit in the last few years.
Well, the PIC, sure. But, you know, it's all focused on, it all boils down to money.
Oh, yeah.
Everything, whether it's value for value, whether it all boils down to money instead of, wow, I can just throw this idea I have and I wrote something in a markdown for all I care and I link it to this and then someone else links through there and real discovery. You know, our version of discovery is, hey, ChatGPT. But we could even make that better by giving AI large language models, you know, trees to parse.
Oh, I mean, Dave Weiner's right on his podcast. LLMs they suck.
Yeah.
I mean, they totally get in your way. He's completely right. And if that's our future, I would like to go ahead and exit stage mm-hmm. left mm-hmm. at the, you know, we need to do database story time.
Database story time?
Yeah.
I'm sure
you saw the ungovernable misfits. Feed
no.
Exposed a huge Soundbites API bug.
No. I don't know anything about this. Do we need music for this?
Are you
doing a story time that we need music for? Or what?
I mean, you can play. Yeah, you can play music. It's going to be a long story though. So we might need a 20-minute music bed here.
Let's try this. Okay. And now,
this is
database story time with your pod sage, Dave Jones.
You're going to have to stop that. I can't even think straight.
What kind of podcaster are you?
The crying violin was killing me there.
It was my in memoriam music.
Yes, yeah, weeping for the database. So... ungovernable misfits. I don't know if you've known that there's been an ongoing problem with that one feed.
No,
Did you know about this?
It sounds familiar, but fill me in.
Okay. Let's see. They're ungovernable, so that's part of the problem. Misfits. Here we go. Feed ID 352598.
352-9-9-8
352-598. Okay. So the ungovernable misfits has it's Linkin Park Rules is the guy on podcast.
Wait,
that stuff.
35. I'm sorry. 352-598.
352-598. And Linkin Park Rules pops up about once every couple of weeks and says, hey, I just posted a new episode and the podcast index is
not updating.
No, it's not. No, it's more than that. It's blank page.
Oh, okay.
But it shows nothing on my page. And I'm like,
that's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
This is the feed from Podhome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. From the Dutch Master Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I go and I look, and when I go and pull the get episodes by feed ID endpoint of the API for that show, 352-598, it would come back and say 500 server error, internal server error.
Oh, no.
And so then if I continuously reduce the number of maximum episodes returned down to, let's say, 5, eventually I'll get a response.
Mm-hmm.
And the response would contain hundreds of identical sound bites. Okay. And so I was like, well, okay, something's screwy.
Like 562.
Yeah. So these are duplicate sound bites. Well, this has gone and so in order to get the show back working in the index, I would just reset the feed and then everything would go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
It would all be perfect after that. And for another 2-3 weeks, same thing happens again. And so what I thought was happening, and this is because Barry at Pod Home, a long time ago after Pod Home first launched, Barry actually had a problem with his system where it would create duplicate sound bites, many duplicate sound bites in a feed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said and we reported it to him and he said he fixed it.
He's the lying Dutchman.
And so this has always been in the back of my head that I'm thinking this is some sort of regression, a bug on Barry's side. But I'm trying to look at it objectively, but I'm still always thinking, okay, it has to be something where when the feed is initially published, it has a whole bunch of sound bites, but then later once the feed is rebuilt, that gets fixed or something like this. So my thinking on this is polluted by the initial problem a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to talk about database indexes.
Okay.
When you don't index a database correctly, a database table, what ends up happening is you end up chasing slowness as if it's unoptimized code. You think a lot of times you think the problem is in your code. And the problem is actually at the database. So I always index secondary tables in the database the same way. And so what I mean by secondary tables is, you know, you get your primary tables, you have the feeds table, which all the podcasts are in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the episodes table, which we call NF items. So you have those two tables are the core of Podcast Index database. Everything else is considered a secondary table. That's just the terminology I use because those are going to be things like sound bites, chapters, person, locations, things that attach themselves to an episode or a feed. And I always index tables like that the same way. And unless it's something very kind of unique, and that I use a compound index because a lot of times we don't want or need or have a unique ID for each of those tags. So take something like the soundbite tag. A soundbite tag doesn't have an ID. You know, it doesn't have like a globally unique ID for every soundbite that exists.
Mm.
So you have to sort of come up with your own unique ID. And a unique ID for a soundbite tag could be just all the attributes in the tag. Those would all add up to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
Another example would be the person tag. So you might have a compound index on all the attributes of the person tag, the name, the bio, the avatar, the role, all that kind of stuff combines. If you just like smushed all that stuff together, you would have this big, big, unique value within the feed. And what that would do is it would naturally exclude duplicates. So if somebody put the same tag in there 20 times, you would only get one of them because that's your unique index on that table.
Right. I'm with you. I'm following.
Yeah. So RSS can have duplicates. It's not against the rules. It's just XML. You can have duplicates. Mm-hmm. You can have the same episode tag, item tag with the same content in it 27 times.
But you don't want the same GUID 27 times.
Oh, but you can.
Okay.
You know, you can have it. It's not against the rules.
It's going to break stuff, but it's not against the rules.
Yeah, it'll break stuff, yeah, but it doesn't violate XML.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to naturally figure out a way to filter that. And as they get, as those
how about
things
grip?
Get ingested.
Grip.
Yes. Grip. You can grip it. Grip pipe. Yeah. So you can, so the way you do that is by having well-constructed compound indexes on XML data that does not contain a unique identifier. Well, the soundbites table did not get indexed this way.
I figured that was the punchline.
I don't know what exactly brain fart I had, but I just did not index this table the right way.
Okay, so where does that leave us?
So this means duplicate soundbites.
Oh,
were being created. Anytime there was a new episode.
Oh, it would create a new. No, go ahead. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, no, you're on the right track. So the way the aggregators work is that they only re-ingest a feed if they detect a new episode. So, that's not exactly true. If they detect a new episode or some significant change to the feed. So then they'll re-index all the episodes and bring them all in. So since that's not a common occurrence most of the time with most feeds, it's not like we were getting a new set of sound bites every single time it scanned the feed. It was only when there was a new episode or some significant change was made.
Right.
So I looked and the sound bites table was 4 gigabytes. It had 36 million sound bites in it. And I was like, that can't be right. That seems a little excessive. So the sound bites table has a column that references the episode ID from the episodes table. And I saw hundreds of sound bites for episodes that only in the feed had like a few. Mm. And then I looked on the index and I looked at the structure and I looked at the indexes that were on that sound bites table. And I was like, this is okay. So that's step one of the bug. This is a multifaceted bug. That was part one. Part two is this. We've touched on this in another context before, but we've talked about database table relationships. So a simple example is this. So imagine you have a database of, let's say you're a bookstore. You have a database of books. You have a books table in your database and you have an authors table in your database. There's a column in the books table called author. And that column references the authors table. And that's what's called a relationship. So those are table relationships. That means the value for the author field of a book in the books table is related to an entry in the author's table. And you define defining the relationships in that way is what keeps all the data structured. And that's what, if you hear the term a relational database, that's what that means.
Mm.
The way this is typically achieved is the linking of something like an ID. Okay, so you'd have like, there would be an ID column on the books table. Every book would get an ID, a unique ID. And then there would be an ID column on the author's table where every author would get a unique ID. And in the books table, the author column would have a reference to the ID column in the author's table. So every time you pull a list of books, you're also getting a list of authors of those books. And you do that through what's called a join statement. So you would say something like select all the books from the books table and then join the authors table onto the book, onto that result set where the books.author equals the author ID. So now what you've gotten is you've gotten all the books And then you've gotten all the fields from the author's table that go along with that book.
Mm-hmm.
That creates the full result set. Okay. And you do, and the joins are how you build out all the data you need in a single call rather than having to go look up a little bit over here, a little bit over there, a little bit over here. So now, you know, what I just described is a one-to-one relationship. So every book has one author. And you can visualize what this would look like in your head if you think of just like an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Where every row is a book, and then there's a column with called authors. Mm-hmm. With one name in it.
However,
obviously things are more complicated than that, because now imagine that books can have multiple authors, you know, which is, I mean, it is obviously a thing that happens. So now we're talking about a one to many relationship. And the way you would typically handle this in a relational database is you'd have like a three-way table relationship. You'd have like a database menage a trois.
No, sacre bleu.
Where you'd have a books table, an author's table, and then you would have a pivot table that links those two together. So you may call it like the book author's table. So this book author's table has three columns. It has an ID of its own, because that's good practice. It has a book ID column, and then it has an author ID column. So the purpose of this table is to link authors with books. Now, if you want one particular book, let's say JCD, a JCD book.
Yeah.
Online, the book.
Vinegar.
The Vinegar book. And it has you know, multiple authors. It has him and Mimi.
Mm-hmm.
So you could query the books table and then join the book authors table on that book ID. So let's say that the book ID for that is 512. You'd say select all the books from, you say select from the books table where the book ID equals 512. Then you're going to join the book authors table where the book ID equals 512. Then you're going to join the authors table where the author ID equals book author's author ID. So you're basically linking, you're chaining these things together to get a complete result set where you have books and all their authors. Now, what do you think the results of that, if you were to visualize that output as a spreadsheet, what would it look like?
You lost me at Mimi.
So if you have a result set from a database query where one of the tables that you're querying has multiple results, but the one that it was joined onto only has one result. Okay, so you're searching for one book, but you want to get all the authors. And what it's going to give you back is a set of rows, just like an Excel spreadsheet.
Right, of authors.
So what goes into all those other columns? Because what you're having is you got the book title, the book publication date, the book publisher, blah, 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 blah. And only one of the columns is author. So what goes in all those other columns in the results set? Because you're going to have two entries. You're going to have two rows, one for JCD and one for Mimi.
Mm.
But you still have all these other columns, and what goes in those columns? And I can tell you what goes in those columns, because the way SQL works is you're going to get an exact duplicate row,
right?
Except for the author is going to be different. So what it's going to look like in the resulting output is that you have two identical books with two different authors, but you don't. You only have one book.
With two authors.
With two authors. Ah. But that's not what the result set looks like.
So SQL is broken.
Yeah, right. Yes, yes. So for this is the way SQL works. And for this reason, in the API code of the podcast index, and this is, you know, it's very common, I have to pull out those duplicate rows. You have to do something. You have to do something that takes a result set that looks like that and then files it down to have only the episode. So I'm looking, you remember, I'm looking for episodes here, and I want to get all the sound bites that go with those episodes. So one episode can have multiple sound bites. So you're going to get that episode back multiple times.
Oh,
so you have to do something that filters. Yes. Right, okay. So here's
a, we're back to grip. We're back to grip. You got to filter it.
This is the actual, I'm posting
in the boardroom.
This is the actual code from that gets, this is the function that gets called when you do an API call on Podcast Index for get episodes by feed ID. There's some stuff that the endpoint does, but this is the main workhorse that gets called at the database.
Get items level. By feed.
Yes. And so you can see, I think it's line 283. You can see that this is, it's filtering out. Okay. It's saying, we already know we're going to get lots of iterations of the same. We're going to get what is in effect duplicate episodes. So we want to filter through those duplicate episodes, and we get the episode once, and then we add the sound bites to that episode as separate parts of the response object that we're building to send back in the API call. But we only want to add the sound bite if we haven't already added it. And so because this is complicated, but remember, this is not just sound bites. This is multiple joins. So what's getting joined here, you can see the list of joins up in the code. It's joining the chapters table, the transcripts table, the sound bites table, the persons table, the value table, the social interact table, the value time splits, and the NF GUIDs. So there's a lot of joins going on here. So you're going to get multiples of all these rows many, many, many times.
And that's going to fill up memory and bork the result.
If you're not careful to exclude them. Mm. Yes. So this was part.
If only you built this in Frontier, this wouldn't be a problem.
Frontier. Yes. Yes. User land. And for some reason in this case, I wasn't doing that either. This is the fixed code. The other code, I was just taking whatever I was given and sticking it back in there. It was pulling all the sound bites from the SQL response without ever looking to see if it had already had that sound bite in the response object already.
Oh man, this is what a crazy bug, Dave.
Well, this was bugs all the way down. I mean, this was a complete brain fart on my side of things. I mean, I still don't understand why I got this so wrong. The only thing I can think, my only thinking here is that I was putting the soundbite stuff in play, and that I may have gotten interrupted in them and just forgot what I was doing, because this is not normal. But what I typically do on a situation like this is I basically just take, and this is what every programmer does. You take what you did before and you just replicate it again. You do the same thing again, you know, you take, because all these things follow a pattern. I mean, the persons, chapters, sound bites, they all follow a consistent pattern. So you just copy and paste over your code, then make a couple of modifications, and you know, you do your thing. But looking at that soundbite code, I was like, why did I do this? Because it was completely different than the rest of the code. But, you know, the human element came in, because I kept thinking the whole time about that old bug that Barry had. And I just was thinking, this has to be on his side. And it was enough of a head fake, because every time I would reset the Ungovernable Misfits feed, it would remove everything related to that feed from all the tables. Because like part of table relationships is you can set what's called cascades. And so what you can do is every table that references, so we have an episodes table, right? And each episode gets an ID. Well, all the all the things like transcripts, chapters, sound bites, persons, all those tables that hang off of it, the episodes table, they reference those episode IDs. So if you set a cascade on those reference, on those secondary tables, you can have it where when you delete the episode, anything on another table that references those entries also get deleted. So that's very convenient because you can wipe, you don't have to go clean up after yourself.
Mm.
Everything just gets, you know, it's like, okay, well, this episode is now gone. Well, everything that referenced that episode, that also needs to be gone because it's now invalid data. So it would wipe everything. And this would temporarily solve the problem because now there's just the exact sound bites from the feed in the database. There's no duplicates at all. And I was like, okay, well, maybe there was a caching problem on Barry's side, blah, 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 blah. Because now it's fixed. But then as new episodes were released, the sound bites would begin to duplicate and then all, it would build up over time. So the fix for this.
Oh, thank God there's a fix.
The fix is implemented and done. The first, stop all the aggregators from ingesting sound bites. Because the sound bites table at this point needs to be read only. So we don't want anything being written to it. So then I exported all the sound bites, every record out of the sound bites table into a CSV file. Because I don't want to have to reread all these feeds. Because I don't know which feeds have
the problem.
Have sound bites in them. You know, I just don't, because I'm getting rid of the sound bites table.
Yeah.
So you export all the sound bites entries into a CSV file. Truncate the sound bites table. Now truncate is a SQL function that you can do. It's like instantaneous. It just basically empties the table and you don't have to do like a whole bunch of deletes. And the nice thing about that is it doesn't lock the database. So you can just it's gone. Empty the sound bites table, modify the indexes on the table so that now it includes the proper indexes so that you won't get duplicates. Making a compound index. Download the CSV of all the exported, you know, soundbite entries. Create a temporary table in a SQLite database with the same index parameters as what's now in the main database. Import the CSV file into the SQLite table. Basically, it's using SQLite as a way to deduplicate. Then export out of SQLite back to CSV. because I don't want to have to upload a humongous CSV. I mean, this thing was 4 gigabytes. You know, I got to get this thing as small as I can. So export that that now deduplicated CSV back out. And I wrote a PHP script that would just like slowly ingest these back into the soundbites table because I didn't want to do like a mass import. Then go in and fix the API code so this properly duplicating the SQL results. Then turn the soundbite aggregation back on in the across the aggregator fleet. So that was what happened. I guess Sunday and Monday of last weekend was
you needed that. You really needed that. That was great.
Yeah. It was wonderful. Yeah. And you know, hearty apologies to Dutch Master Barry. I was blaming him for like 3 months on this, and it was my problem the whole time. But we got it fixed. And also apologies to Oscar and Lincoln
for blaming them.
And I didn't blame them. Because Oscar depends on Podcast Index.
Yeah.
To get value splits.
Yeah, and it wasn't, nothing was coming out. It was breaking.
Yeah, it
was
just borked. Yeah. Right. So anyway, it was my problem the whole time, but now we got it fixed.
This has been another episode of Database Storytime with Dave Jones. Please join us next time when Dave will explain out-of-memory errors on Linode infrastructure. Right here on Database Storytime.
Next week, what does it mean when you go to a bulletin board and it says too many connections?
Oh, man. Okay, well, you've eaten up all of the rest of our time for today.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I actually was working on an XSLT style sheet in the meantime, but, you know, otherwise.
Well, actually, you know, the person I really blame is clearly not myself. The person I truly blame is John Spurlock.
Oh, really? How does Spurlock get the blame for this?
Because he gets full database dumps of the podcast index.
Yeah, he should
with
know
every
better.
Table.
Yeah, he should know. And
he should have seen this. He should have seen this months ago.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Spurlock?
Yeah, he's clearly not paying attention. He's asleep at the wheel.
I want to thank some people who support the podcast index. Many of you have been supporting it for 5 years now as we continue to bring you the boardroom with all of the, we got warts and all in this one, man. Man, yep. That's, thank you, Dave, so much for, you do all this for no money.
Exposing my flaws in public. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well,
that's part of it. But man, what you have built is just a beautiful system and it's so highly appreciated. I'm teary up. You can support the podcast index and all of the infrastructure that Dave needs to make all of this work, and it always does. I mean, have we ever had any real actual downtime? I don't think so.
On the index?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a downtime like it didn't work. I don't think so.
We had downtime once, I think, when didn't we have a downtime once?
I don't think. See, this is what I mean. No. Your error log is like 2 bytes.
2 bytes. Yeah.
It's been created.
Shh, let's not talk about downtime. Okay. Don't talk about
Booster came in while we were chatting. And of course, we appreciate you supporting this project value for value. You can go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, there's a big red button. You can hit that and you can support us with your fiat fund coupons through PayPal. We love Boost coming into the modern podcast apps. Rove Dux from Martin Lindeskog, known as Lyceum. He actually, so he always has like a running dialogue. So I got to find it and then read it in reverse. So let me see if I can find his first one. So he sends 420 Boost for the hackathon. Then 100. Great to hear. What's the next step? It's like he's sending us text messages. I'm not replying. And he says, as a side note, I like that you are showing comments on podcastindex.org for your podcast. Yes, this is this thanks to the thread on Mastodon ActivityPub protocol? Yes, that is exactly what it is. It's the activity. What's the tag?
Social interact.
We keep using that and I'll just keep using it. He says you have your ducks in a row. That's why I sent 2222. Perfect. We got a boost from Sam Sethi.
Hey, the Seth.
Seth Meister. 777. The original goal of RSS, really simple syndication, was to grab data from around the web and bring it into the Netscape portal. So stocks, weather, sports, etc. My boss, Mike Homer, had the original RSS feed idea, and Danny Libby coded the first XML RSS. Today, we have come full circle and have the podcast portal page with podcast, blog, events, merch, etc. See, I thought I was coming up with something new, but Sam has already done it. It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing.
What happens, the way it works.
1776 from Lyceum again. Martin Lindeskog, Liberty Boost, he says. Salty Crayon with the 777. Audio over video is the simple V8 that still has knobs, buttons, and a gear shift. Video is 2025 vehicles with a giant iPad that keeps your eyes off the road. Audio is king. Thank you. Another Salty Crayon, 333, just a node rebuild test in the pipe. It worked. It sure did. And there's the delimiter. So you're up.
Dreb Scott. We got some monthlies here. These are all mixed up. Monthlies. We got Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb.
Thanks, Dreb. How's the weight loss journey going, man? I haven't heard an update. I want an update.
Yeah, what's the scale?
What's the scales? What's the scales? What's up with the scales, man?
Chris Bernardick, $5. Thank you, Chris. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. RSS.com, $777.
Ooh, baby. Yeah,
Sakala,
baby.
Nice. 20-inch blades on the Impala.
They've got the angel number lined up for us. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Really
been
appreciate
in Alberta.
That. You guys rock. All the hosting company guys rock. They're always helping us out. They know.
They sent us a message. Donations and support are rolling in. Turns out Dave's forest retreats have magical fundraising powers. But even when he's not off grid, the love keeps coming.
It's
the
amazing.
Team.
It's amazing. How does that work? Get out of town. It's great.
Kevin Bay, $5. Thank you, Kevin. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Chad Farrow. What's up, Chad? Chad F, $20.22. Brendan at Podpage, $25. Thank you, Brendan. New Media, $1. Martin Lindiscogue. Mark Graham, $1. Oh, look at there. Speak of the devil. It's Oscar Mary, $200.
Bam! Baller, shot nice. Caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
You deliver bugs and we get value in return. That's awesome. Thank you.
That's
Thank
right. Thank you very yeah. much. I give you bugs, you give us $200.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Oscar.
Yeah, my dad was a programmer, an AS400 programmer, and really? He had a... In the in
I didn't know this is the more you know. I didn't know about this. I didn't know he was an AS400 guy
for a long time. He started on the IBM System 32.
Woo! How about
remember,
that?
If you remember that?
Oh yeah. Yes, I have one in the corner.
It was the System 32. Then that went to System 36, and then that became the AS400.
Yeah, I had an AS400 at one point.
You had one in your house?
No, in my office when I had my company, and the IBM was our customer, specifically the AS400 division. And I think I told you this. They gave us that. They said,
and they said you had to serve it from AS400.
Yeah, got to run your web server on the AS400. Okay. Yeah. And they come visit the office. Oh, there it is. Look at it humming along. Meanwhile, in the background, Linux.
It's all Apache.
Apache. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's. Do you remember how big those AS400s would get? The ones with the big disk packs.
Well, mine
you could
was
get
about
them, they were gigantic.
No, the one I had was about the size of a filing cabinet. About that was kind of their standard model, I think.
Uh huh. So, yeah, that was mostly disk in there.
Oh yeah. Disk. Definitely.
So the System 32 in the old days had, or maybe it was the 36. I forgot. It's the precursor to the AS400 had. What they call disk packs. Did you ever see one of those?
No, I don't think so.
So a disk pack looked like a briefcase, except imagine that the briefcase is laying down flat and the handle is on top. And so that was your personal disk pack. And you would,
wow.
And you had a big opening on the top, and you would come in and drop the disk pack down into the slot to load anything that was on your personal drive. And so, but it didn't have the cool thing about the disk packs is that they did not have electric brakes on the spindles.
So these discs, it would take forever to spin down.
It would gyro. As soon as you pulled it out of the thing, you'd be chasing it around the room.
Oh, it was spinning around.
Yeah, for like it was like gyroscoping in your hand. You'd be chasing that thing for like, I don't know, 30 seconds.
That's awesome.
Everybody would pull it out and immediately get yanked to the side. Yeah, boomer moment. Yeah, Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate that. Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Podverse, hey, that's Mitch and the boys.
Yeah,
$50.
Oh, wow, thank you, Podverse. Appreciate that.
And then we got, we got some boostergrams. Let's see what we got here. Let me resort the old.
Those were the monthlies or those were the
one-offs?
That's
everything. That was monthlies
everything.
And one-offs.
Okay, everything.
Yes.
Got it. This is good. Thank you, everybody. This is nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep those servers humming.
Bruce the Ugly Quacking Duck, 2222. He said, when the comfort leaves, people are forced to make a move. However, how people move is the point. Thanks for the episode, 73s.
73s, Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie.
You got very philosophical on this real quick. Through Fountain, this is user 5935256. He says first Bitcoin donation ever. And it has to go to the Podcasting 2.0 team. Thanks for opening a whole new world to me. Go podcasting.
Oh, awesome. How many sats?
22.
Oh, very nice. Let me give you go podcasting for you. Welcome to the party.
Mm-hmm. Cole McCormick. Did you read Cole McCormick?
I did not. No.
Cole McCormick, Satchel of Richards, 1111 through Fountain. He says, I was born in 1997. I feel like I'm one of that's the boomer. I was born in. I like how I get labeled as a boomer.
Yeah. Oh no. Get used to it. There's just no way you can get around. This is whenever you talk about something that's before the iPhone, you're a boomer.
Say, so I'm about as Gen X as you could possibly get.
No,
a boomer.
No, you're a boomer, man. You're a boomer.
You're Gen X too. You're not a boomer.
I'm September 1964, so that I call myself a Ben X.
You're a boomer.
You're Gen X's hair.
That was John Cena Vorax.
Oh, sorry. No, that's not right. That's not. I thought it was a boomer. Oh, wait. It is.
Another great show, Boomers.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah. Yes. I was born in 1997, says Cole McCormick. I feel like I'm one of the only people my age who even know what an RSS feed is and why podcasting is awesome. I'll be sure to drill all this opportunity to my 6-year-old nephew. Gen Alpha will be RSS.
There you go.
Hey, there you go.
Very good. We need that. Get them a style sheet.
Everybody gets a style sheet. Mm-hmm. You get your birth certificate and a style sheet. Comic strip blogger.
There he is.
12855 through Fountain, the delimiter. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I'd like to recommend a plastic, fantastic podcast called Unrelenting. It airs 33 minutes before your Podcasting 2.0 podcast on No Agenda Stream. Unrelenting co-hosts are Gene from Austin, Texas, and Darren from a village near Chicago. More infos at www.unrelenting.show. Last week, their talk about ice cubes took my breath away, but they tackle many other topics like health, computer hardware, trading, content creation, snake feeding, etc. Yo, CSB.
I've seen Gene's snakes. He has them in the house. Snake. Oh, he has two humongous snakes. He's got a python that I think is 11 feet long.
This ISO. Yes, ISO that
thing. It's just the sides, it curls up in the bathtub like it wants a bath. And then, you know, he gives it a bath and then it goes out. And that snake sleeps most of the time. And he's got a smaller one, 5 feet. And they just slither around throughout the house, you know. So, and then when we had the snowpocalypse and the power went out.
What did he do with the snakes that day?
Well, the problem is if it's too cold for the snake dies.
Well, if it's too cold, the snake just shrivels up.
Do you know what he did? He actually laid down with the snakes to keep them warm for 5 days.
Gene, you went too deep, brother.
with his body heat. Now he was very concerned. You know, he was like, "What am I going to do? My snakes are going to die if it gets 2 degrees colder." I said, "Curl up with them." He said, "Okay."
Microwave.
no agenda millennial, not in the microwave.
That'll heat them up. That's a great idea.
And it's
that's
a tasty snack. Yeah.
Jerky.
You guys are the worst. Ooh. You're the worst. Oh. You're the worst. You're the worst. Oh, man. All right. Boardroom, thank you very much, Dave. Do you get to chill a little bit this weekend?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some work going on, but I'm going to try to not think about work.
Okay. Well, you deserve
when I'm not there.
That's exactly
which
right.
Which is harder than it sounds sometimes.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will be back next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
We can do all this in JSON.